The tension in the death chamber has increased around America. As states deal with the controversy of secrecy laws surrounding the mixture of chemicals in lethal injections and the aftermath of that horribly botched execution in Oklahoma, new executions attract a different message from protesters. This is the sound of protesters singing Amazing Grace outside a prison in Georgia last night, protesting the execution of Marcus Wellens, the first prisoner put to death since the problems in Oklahoma 7 weeks ago. Marcus Wellens was convicted in the 1989 rape and murder of a teenage girl. He continued to appeal his execution well into Tuesday, arguing that state policy to keep many of the state's execution procedures secret might result in cruel and unusual punishment for him. Adam Raguzia is reporting on this story for Georgia Public Broadcasting. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks for having me on your show, John.
So let's talk a little bit about how this execution comes really in the context of all of the controversy over secrecy and lethal injection chemicals and the botched execution in Oklahoma that took place last month. How is all that figuring into these protests and this controversy here in Georgia?
Well, the long and short of it is that about a year and a half ago, prisons across the country in states that have the death penalty started running out of their stockpiles of lethal injection drugs because pharmacies that make those drugs started saying, we're just not willing to sell these to you for the purposes of execution. It's just too much of a PR, a legal headache for us, and some of us happen to be ethically opposed to it as well. And so states were really scrambling for a while to find an alternative source of these drugs, and they found it in pharmacies that would be willing to sell the drugs, but only under the cloak of anonymity. We'll sell you the drug, but you can't tell anybody who we are. And so several states passed secrecy laws enabling states to keep the source of their execution drugs a secret, not only from the people, but from the courts as well.
Does Georgia have a secrecy law now?
Sure does. One of the strictest in the nation. For all we know, they could have pumped pentobarbital into Marcus Wellens last night. It could have been apple juice. It could have been Clorox bleach. There's no independent authority outside the prison system in Georgia that has the ability to know what was in that IV bag. What we do know from state officials is that they are sourcing their pentobarbital from a compounding pharmacy. That is a pharmacy that takes drugs produced by other people and combines them into new drugs. And the thing that is very troubling about compounding pharmacies for some people is that they are not regulated by the FDA in the way that a normal drug maker is regulated. And we saw potentially the consequences of that, you'll recall, a couple of years ago when a compounding pharmacy in Massachusetts was tied to a meningitis outbreak nationwide. They had drugs that were contaminated. And a lot of people said, this is what we get with compounding pharmacies. Imagine what they're going to do with execution drugs.
So does anybody in the state, anybody in the execution chamber know exactly what's in that bag? Is the secrecy absolutely inviolate all the way up to the governor?
No, the governor can know. It is classified as a state secret, but there's no opportunity for any other power, independent power, to have oversight. And this is what death penalty opponents, lawyers who fight on the anti-death penalty side, say is so egregious about secrecy laws like Georgia's. You could, they say, conceivably craft a statute that would allow information about the provenance of execution drugs to be made available to the court under seal. That is, they could show a judge, here's where we're getting the execution drug, so the judge could verify, at least for him or herself, that the drug is legit.
Is there a doctor on the case here, a doctor who knows what chemicals there are and can attest to the judge, if the judge bothers to ask, whether these drugs are likely to be effective or what the potential would be for some fiasco like happened in Oklahoma?
There is a doctor that the state of Georgia keeps on employ for $5,000 a year to write prescriptions for pentobarbital, but we know nothing about this physician. We have no idea this person's qualifications, where she or he is. We just know nothing. And, you know, that's not unprecedented. For millennia, courts have guaranteed anonymity to the people who participate in executions. The headsman could wear a mask, but ultimately somebody knew who the headsman was. Now, the prison officials in this case know who the doctor is, but nobody else does. And there's a legitimate reason for this, because the American Medical Association says that physicians cannot participate in executions. It is considered unethical behavior by the AMA, and physicians who participate in executions face the risk of having their license revoked. And what we're seeing in a lot of these execution secrecy statutes that have been passed around the country is that a lot of them also contain provisions specifically saying that physicians cannot have their licenses revoked for participating in an execution.
Finally, has all of this secrecy controversy and the presence of a doctor controversy changed the character of the protests? Protests against executions are almost a ritual in every state in the United States, but I'm wondering if it's changed this time.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that, John. Execution protests are almost like a kabuki theater. You know, people, they show up, they do their thing, and nobody looks at them twice. And I was expecting to see more protesters outside of Marcus Welland's execution last night. In the end, it was the same old folks from the Episcopal Church who protest every time, plus just a couple of people who wouldn't have normally been there who were mobilized by the drug secrecy issue. And I do think that there was much more interest in this execution of Marcus Welland's and also the execution of John Winfield last night in Missouri, which is a very similar situation. I do think interest in those cases was mobilized by the fact that a lot of people are really disturbed by these execution secrecy drugs. But I think that that debate was ready to pop or go away depending on what happened last night. If we had had two botched executions in a row, if something had happened to Marcus Welland's, like what happened to Clayton Lockett in Oklahoma in April 29th, where he got the drug and then he writhed and moaned for 45 minutes before dying of a heart attack, if that had happened to Marcus Welland's or John Winfield last night, I think you and I would be having a completely different conversation right now. In fact, you probably wouldn't even be talking to a reporter. You'd be talking to top brass newsmakers waking up this morning saying something has to be done. But fact of the matter is, both of these executions went off last night without any major hitch. And I think that this conversation is going to more or less go away until something goes wrong again.
Adam Raguzia is a reporter for Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks so much, Adam.
You got it, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.